You clock out. We clock in. Welcome to the Torn by Sports Lunch Break.
Welcome to this episode of the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. Joining me today is Kevin Monroe, the radio analyst for the East Carolina Pirates. How are you doing today, Kevin?
I'm doing well, Grant. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. It's a beautiful day in Salt Lake, and it looks like the weather should be pretty nice leading up to game day here for the Pirates and the Cougars going at it on Saturday. Are you traveling out here with the team?
Absolutely. We're going to leave on Friday. I haven't gotten the travel itinerary yet, but we usually leave about 1 p.m. on Fridays. We just went to SMU last week, so it was about a 2.5-hour trip from Greenville to Dallas. So I think we'll probably add another hour and a half to get out there to Salt Lake Provo to see you guys. So I'm excited about it.
Cool. I mean, how is this one of the furthest road trips East Carolina has done up to this point?
This is the furthest for football during a regular season. A few years back we played in the Hawaii Bowl, and so that was obviously the furthest. But in terms of a regular season game, actually back in 1994, we played Washington at Washington. I was still in high school then, but in the last probably 10 or 15 years, we've not gone anywhere. I think Tulsa, Oklahoma is probably the furthest we've been.
Okay. How do you think that long travel could possibly affect the team as they come out here to Provo?
It's hard to say. We fly in on Friday, so the team does get a chance to have a good night's sleep, and then the game's a night game. So, I think they'll have some time to recover. I don't want to say it's not going to have any effect, but I don't know that it'll be a big issue. We'll have to see how the game starts and how they, how they get acclimated to it. But flying out on Friday as opposed to game day, I think, helps to get you there. And if it were a noon kickoff, then I'd say it'd probably be a big deal. But the fact that it's an evening game, I think, will help them out a lot.
Okay. East Carolina, they beat Virginia Tech, which to me is a good win being a Virginia Tech fan, and they held Florida and kept that one pretty close. How big is this game against BYU for the Pirates?
Oh, I think every game's big, but the fact that we've not played the Cougars, I don't know if ever. Honestly, I haven't looked at the history, but I know we certainly haven't played them in the recent history. And the fact that they're doing so well, I think, is an exciting thing for the Pirates. But, we don't have the luxury at East Carolina of playing a cupcake schedule in terms of non-conference. And so we play pretty big opponents every year. We always play Virginia Tech. We always play West Virginia. We play several of the in-state schools, the UNC Chapel Hills, North Carolina State. And so we're used to playing. We play Miami quite a bit. We're used to playing big games early. So I wouldn't say that there's tremendous excitement because of the stature of BYU's program, but we know to expect a good team that's beaten some other powerhouse opponents, and that it's going to be a tough game for the Pirates.
Okay. Speaking of it being a tough game, looking at what the points allowed that BYU's had versus East Carolina, East Carolina has only lost four games out of the last 29 when they score 30 points or more. And BYU's losses, with the exception of one, have all come when they've allowed 30 points or more. So how do you see East Carolina attacking the BYU defense to make sure they put up those necessary 30 points?
Well, it's hard to say. The stats that you're naming have come, in the last several years when our quarterback situation has been pretty solid. I mean, our last, three or four quarterbacks have all been very good players, and we've been running this air raid system under Coach Ruffin McNeil that he brought from Texas Tech with him. And it's a tough offense to defend. When the passing game's really working, the running game's really working, the goal is to run 100 plays and to get, over 400 yards of offense, usually. But, about 300 of that's coming through the air, and then, another 100 or so is coming on the ground. And so that's kind of the goal each game. And they don't always achieve that. But this year the Pirates have a tougher situation because the quarterback that was going to start at the beginning of the year, Kurt Benkert, tore his ACL about a week, 2 weeks before the season started. And so the Pirates were scrambling. And so his backup was kind of thrust into action. And I don't know that he would have played much this season. He wasn't quite ready. And that's Blake Kemp. He wasn't quite ready. And so he had to go. And then the Pirates had a JUCO transfer in James Summers, who they had moved to wide receiver. Good athlete. They moved him to wide receiver, but he had two quarterbacks in front of him. And so there was no expectation that he would get on the field. So they moved him to wide receiver so that he could play. And then all of a sudden you have a quarterback go down, blow his knee out. And so Summers has moved back to quarterback. Kemp is thrust into the starting role. And it's been a little bit of slow acclimation to the offense. And so we haven't scored probably the way that we'd like. But here lately, things are starting to click, and both quarterbacks are playing. Summers is more of an athlete. Kemp is a little bit more of a passer, and not much of a runner. And so, you know, it just depends. So I say all that to say, if the offense gets running, gets going, we're running the ball well, we're throwing the ball well, then we're tough to defend. But we've had some lapses in recent weeks, turned the ball over a few times, and so. I don't know that it's the high-powered offense that it has been in the past several years, but they're getting better every week.
Okay, I mean, you mentioned Blake Kemp, who's the former backup, now starter. I mean, he's had a 70% completion rate. Is that just, you know, short routes as he's a pocket passer in a spread offense?
Yeah, it's very short passes. He does throw the ball downfield from time to time. He's an accurate thrower. So the 70% is correct. He's an accurate thrower. But we've been playing some tough opponents. So, you know, Florida got some people in his face and he had a couple turnovers. Navy got some guys in his face and he had a turnover or so. And then, this past week at SMU, he had two turnovers. So, is he completing the majority of his passes? Yes. But our problem has been here recently of just taking care of the football. And so, that's going to be the concern. With both quarterbacks, but specifically with Kemp here recently.
So, I mean, he's thrown a few interceptions each of these games. Are these interceptions like tip ball interceptions, or are they just mistakes by the quarterback?
A little bit of both. A little bit of both. He had an interception against Florida where he was hit as he was throwing, and then he's had a couple where he maybe tried to force a couple passes in. So a little bit of both. In terms of turnovers.
Okay. It looks like the leading wide receiver that he's been targeting has been Isaiah Jones, who leads the team with receptions. Would you say he's the main guy on the offense that BYU needs to stop?
Well, that's hard to say. In this offense, it is very dynamic, meaning that if you're on the field in a wide receiver, tight end, or running back position, at any given time, you can get the ball thrown to you. It's built to where there's always a number of routes going. Now, if you're asking me if Isaiah Jones is the best offensive player, absolutely he is. But if shutting him down does not necessarily shut down the offense, Bryce Williams is probably our best pro prospect in terms of, you know, guy being 6'6", you know, 260 pounds or so, runs well, blocks good, great hands at a tight end position. And so if you don't double team him, then he's going to eat you up over the middle. So, you know, Isaiah, they kind of put him in the slot position and then they move him around quite a bit. So he gets to do a lot of different things. But we have four or five wide receivers that can all run, can all catch. It's just that Isaiah's the one with the most experience. And, you know, he's kind of the guy that the quarterbacks can count on, when they need a crucial third down.
Okay. Crucial third down, you bring up third down. I think ECU's got the number one third down conversion rate in the country right now. How are they doing that?
It's hard to say. I think that here recently with the rise of James Summers, he adds a whole new dynamic to the offense, meaning he's such a good runner with the football that, you know, third and three, third and four, it's tough to stop because, you know, he can roll out in a passing situation and just take off and run, or he can drop back and then do a quarterback draw, or he can just do a quarterback sweep with him, and he's also got a good arm. So he's very tough to stop. And then having that big tight end as a target, you know, we run quite a few times where a quarterback will just kind of pop up and just hit him over the middle really quickly, and if you don't have him bracketed, it's just hard to stop that kind of play. And then Blake, like as I mentioned, when he's in the zone, he's a very accurate passer. And so usually they can find an open man with third and short. And we try to get ourselves in as many third and shorts as possible.
All right. Well, let's shift a little bit to the defense. Last week against SMU, ECU had 8 sacks. Do you expect them to be able to have that same kind of pressure on Tanner Mangum?
Well, I think BYU is a little bit better team than SMU. That's not taking anything away from SMU, but they've had their struggles. So I don't expect the pressure to be the same. However, the Pirates do have some athletic, Montez Overton is a guy who had 4 sacks last week, and he's a kid that's, I'm not looking at my sheet, but I bet he's about 6'3", maybe 230, 240, and he runs a 4.4, 4.3, 40. And so he's a guy that just can flat out run. And so they kind of split him out wide and let him blitz. And, you know, you're going to have to usually put an offensive lineman, maybe a tight end, maybe a running back to chip him just because he's so quick off the edge. There's a couple other guys that can really play. So the linebacker position is definitely the best position for the Pirates defensively. They've got 3 or 4 guys that can all play. Zeke Bigger has been our leading tackler for the last several years. And he's the middle linebacker that kind of calls all the shots, and he's a big time player. But I'm sure that BYU always has a big athletic offensive line, so I'm sure they'll do fine in terms of protecting Tanner Mangum. But the Pirates do have some good rushers.
All right. I mean, I noticed that the pass defense for ECU is pretty good, and BYU has some really tall, good route running wide receivers. How do you expect the secondary for ECU to deal with that?
Well, I think with any defense, the secondary is only as good as its pass rush. And so the reason they were so successful last week is because the pass rush was just all in the face of Matt Davis for SMU. And the same could be said in the Florida game. They really rattled both Will Greer and his backup. And then in the Navy game, obviously they just run that triple option, so they don't really pass the ball. I think they attempted 6 passes in the Navy game, so that's obviously helping our stats. But we've had a couple good defensive backs that play back there and that can make plays. But like any other secondary, there's some weak spots, so it just depends. And so we'll have to see how Mangum and BYU attacks the Pirates to see how successful they'll be. But if the pass rush is good, that certainly helps them in the back end.
Okay. Right now, or at least last time I checked, ECU is about a touchdown underdog to BYU. Do you think the game will be that close, and would you be willing to give us a prediction?
I think it'll be that close. I mean, you know, I fully expect the Pirates to come in and play well. I don't know. I'm not going to give a prediction in terms of who will win, but I do think it'll be a close game. The Pirates, the thing that I like about Ruffin McNeil is that the Pirates rarely, if ever, get blown out of football games. They did lose by a few touchdowns to Navy, but it's a totally different situation. Navy, if you don't have that triple option figured out, then they're just going to beat you. And it's hard for you to get the ball back because they just kind of eat up first downs. So that situation is slightly different. But in general, whether it's going down to Florida, whether it's playing Virginia Tech at home or going on the road to Virginia Tech last year, or all the many, many games that we've played over the years of big-time opponents, they're usually close games. Ruffin always gets his teams ready to play. So I fully expect a hard-fought, close game. And I think that, you know, the Pirates play in front of 60,000 fans every week at home, you know, and then they go on the road playing some of these bigger opponents and they see 50, 60, 70,000 fans. So I think going into a stadium like you guys have there in Provo, that's always packed, that's got, you know, the big-time fan base, is helpful because they can feed off that energy. Even though the energy will be against them, it'll be something they can feed off of. It's much tougher, and I know this as a former player, it's much tougher to go into a stadium where there's 2,000 people and try to get yourself up, excited, you know, enthusiastic about playing a game. You want to feed off the crowd, whether it's against you or for you.
All right. Well, I think it'll be a good close-fought game as well, and it should be a fun one to watch here come Saturday. Kevin, I appreciate you coming on with us. There's one question I have to ask, you know, tradition with the podcast, as we call it, the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. I'm wondering what's your favorite thing to have for lunch?
my favorite thing for lunch. Well, you're going to laugh at this, but I'm a financial advisor in my full-time job. And so I've got two boys at home. And so in the mornings, I'm getting them ready for school. In the evenings, I'm playing with them, feeding them dinner, getting their homework done. So the only time I have to work out is at lunchtime. And so every day I spend my lunch break playing basketball at the gym. And so when I come back to my office, I'll have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and chips for lunch. And that's pretty much every day. So peanut butter and jelly would be my favorite.
Sounds good. I like the basketball part of your lunch a little bit better, personally. But thanks for coming on to and speak, Kevin, and hopefully we have an enjoyable game on Saturday.
It should be a fun one. Thanks for having me.
This has been a Torn Life Sports production.